Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Now, a second scripture lesson from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Again, I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A couple weeks ago, Kelly Gambrill, who is a member of our church and one of our county commissioners, called to ask me if I'd be willing to put together a short article for her weekly newsletter. She's launching a new section of her newsletter dedicated to asking members of different churches and other organizations in Cobb County the same question, in the hopes that our answers will reveal that we have more in common than we realize. So, Commissioner Gambrill and I decided to ask several members of our church, how has 2020 made you a better person? Members of our congregation answered this way: "Wow, I can think of a lot to say about 2020, but can I say it has made me a better person? I'm not so sure. Maybe a stronger person. Together we have all endured a devastating pandemic and a very divisive election. It has been hard not to fall into depression, but as our social activities narrowed, we spent more time with family. We formed close relationships with our grandchildren. At the start of the shutdown, we kept them for several months. That time was exhausting, but precious. It forced me to slow down and relearn patience. This spring was especially beautiful, so we spent more time outdoors. I met many neighbors and participated in events to assist local restaurants and food trucks. Relearning the importance of community was a definite positive for this year. I can't say for sure that I'm a better person, but I think I have become a better friend and a better family member this year. We lost my dad, and a friend battled cancer successfully so far. And even though those are difficult walks, I feel relationships got stronger. I worked on not worrying about what I can't change and letting it all go to God. Despite this year's losses and disappointments, as it comes to a close, I'm hopeful. 2020 has made me a better person, as I have found myself really taking time to learn about myself, because I am now alone, sometimes not seeing anyone, another person for days. As an extrovert, I have spent time with friends and family on the phone, really talking about our lives. I am more compassionate than ever before. My heart aches as I try to relate to the suffering that is all around us this year. I have been more giving than I have ever been before. I have also grown to cherish the importance of family and will never again take time spent together for granted. That's what the members of our church said. And when I hear those responses, I hear echoes of what I myself have felt. But also what I hear in those responses is that something big has happened to us all. Something has disrupted our routines and changed the way we live and see the world around us. It has been bad. But it hasn't been all bad. So now, as some of our friends and family members are receiving the vaccine and we can all start to think about getting back to life as normal, I hope that you will join me in taking some time to think about the parts of your normal that you never again want to get back to. That's important to think about because experience tells me that unless I make a point of not, I'll just go back to being the same person I was, living my life the same way that I did before. Unless I try, I'll just fall back into the routines of traffic and rushing. I'll just go back to being overcommitted, even though being less committed has been so good for me. I will forget all the good lessons that I've learned because that's just what people do. And so I ask you, how has this strange time changed you for the better? And what will you do to keep yourself from reverting back to the way you were before? Well, I don't imagine that any of us will ever look back on the year 2020 with nostalgia. What's true is that some events in life call us not to the same road we're used to, but to journey down a different road. That's what the Magi did. Our second scripture lesson ended with the verse, and having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Considering everything we've been through and are still going through, what new road might we be called to? That's my question for you today on this Sunday that we call Epiphany. Today we remember when those wise visitors gave gifts to the Christ child. I'm deliberately not saying that there were three of them because we know not their number, just the number of their gifts. I'm also not saying that they were all wise men because there must have been women among them considering how they stopped in Jerusalem to ask for directions. Our gospel lesson begins in the time of King Herod. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, they came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." We all know that part well. Listen closely to this too. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened. We know what he did because of his fear. We know what happened next. It's hard to even say what he did out loud. He said he also wanted to pay the child homage, though really he wanted him destroyed. And I ask you to consider both reactions, the reactions of the wise and the reaction of the king. Because while some encounter the miraculous and allow it to change them forever, We can all be too stubborn to change, fighting to keep things the way that they are, or trying to get back to the way they once were. While some open themselves up to change, others fight to put all of life's genies back into their bottles. While some see something that makes them stop, take stock of their lives and adapt, others live unexamined lives that lead to death and destruction. While the wise offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, then left for their own country by another road, Herod would sooner kill every male child in the region than lose his grip on power. These are two options. And as things open up over the next few months, we'll also have to choose whose example we will follow. For our world has forever been changed by not just the COVID-19 virus, but more especially the birth of our Messiah. Only how will we allow these changes to change us? The wise found him, gave him precious gifts, and then went home by another road. On the other hand is King Herod, who sought him out, and coming to terms with the truth of the Messiah's birth, was renewed in his determination not to change anything. In the same common event came two opposite reactions. It reminds me of two men who both suffered a heart attack. But one gives thanks to God and changes his diet. The other asks his wife to stop by McDonald's on the way home from the hospital so he can get a Big Mac. The Messiah was born, and they all knew it just as we do. But the reality of his birth brought the wise men joy and made Herod afraid. Having seen him, they left for their own country by another road, but Herod doubled down on the road he was on. And if you are listening to me this morning, then I bet that you have seen him just as they had. This Christmas, maybe you saw him in an act of kindness. Maybe you saw him in the embodiment of joy. Or maybe you saw him in some experience of the holy, a healing, a miracle, a change of heart. Regardless, I feel sure that you've seen the Messiah somewhere. But what now? Our gospel lesson offers us two choices. Which will it be for you in the last year? We've all suffered under the same fear, and we've all been frustrated by the same virus. Will this common virus enable you to see our common humanity? Will you acknowledge that just as this virus affects us all, it proves that we're not nearly so different or as divided as we've been told? Right now, our eyes are open to the same hardships, and we've all seen such tremendous acts of kindness and empathy, which have the potential to bridge all our division. But just watch, for some will try to push us back into that same kind of partisanship we're not yet rid of, denying the reality that we all so truly care about the same things. What's true is that this virus and this season has the potential to call all of us to greater unity. But that well-worn road of indifference and division feels to some as comfortable as going home. My friends, can we really call where we were home? Are we not citizens of a new heaven and a new earth? Are we not called to a new realization, a new way of being, a new kingdom without borders, a new life without hatred, a new realization that we are all of us brothers and sisters? The world has changed over the past 9 months, but we don't have to change with it. We must choose to change. So now in the season of New Year's resolutions, will you, who after having seen the Christ child be like those wise who left for their own country by another road, will you take some time now to think about what your Saturday mornings have been like, and will you fight to keep some time set aside for Sabbath rest? We consider how good it has been to talk more with your brother or your sister, your mother or your father, and will you make it a priority to keep calling them every week? Will you remember how nice it is to have your groceries delivered to your doorstep? Will you rejoice in how nice life is without an hour commute in traffic every morning, and will you fight to keep it that way? Will you hold close the image of a line of cars in our church parking lot waiting to receive meals? And will you remember that our church can always make a difference to those who are in need so long as we are willing to stick together? Will you follow where he leads? Though going where he leads requires leaving our old life behind. To truly follow him and acknowledge the kingdom of this Messiah born in Bethlehem of Judea is to follow where he leads, even if that means never going back to normal. Let us journey with the wise down another road. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.